Alright. We record these each week, and that way if somebody misses or somebody that just can't come to the class and they still want to hear it, can go right on the church website and they have it on there, unless I forget to turn it on, which does happen occasionally. Okay, so this is week three, and we're covering two chapters in Steve Schultz's book today. And the first one, the chapter's titled, Today, When You Hear His Voice, which comes from the scripture when the Lord said, Today, when you hear his voice. So, the first person I gave the readings to, you have Hebrews, right?
No, I have.
No, who had Hebrews? Okay, go ahead and read Hebrews 3, 13 through 15, Margaret.
But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end of confidence we had at first, as has just been said. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion.
So the author, Steve Schultz, began this chapter by talking about the different biblical translations on this scripture. In some translations it says, if you hear the Lord, do not harden your heart. And the other translations say, when you hear the Lord. Okay? And there's a big difference between that little bitty word if and the word when. And in the original, the Revised Standard uses when. And the original language, in the original language, one of the translated meanings of the word used is when, and what that implies in the original language is every single day. So when that word in the scripture says when, it's meaning every single day in certain texts. In this example, this verse, this scripture, that's one of those times that the translation, the original, means that. So, it's saying, when you hear God's voice today, don't harden your heart. And remember, we talked about this in the first week, I think, that most people believe that God doesn't talk to them. He only talks to special people. Okay? If he even talks to anyone at all. Some people believe God doesn't even talk to people at all today because we've been so conditioned in that in a lot of our churches today that they kind of put that by the wayside. But God, we know that he does talk to everyone and he does it every single day just like today. How many of you as kids, and maybe the younger ones, maybe it's changed, but if you're older, you may remember that when you were you and your siblings were misbehaving in the house, maybe your mother would say, "I'm not talking to hear myself think." That was a phrase that moms used a lot during a certain era, and it was kind of like, I've told you how many times to stop doing that or whatever, and you know the kids ignore it. The kids ignore it. So mom would always say, "I'm not talking to hear myself," talking to hear myself think. So, why does God talk to us? If he speaks to you every day, why do you think one reason might be that he's talking to you? Anybody? What would a reason be?
A lot of times he just encourages us in his love.
Why would he do that, though? Why would he want to do that? Why would he do it? Think about it. It's just really, really simple.
Because we're his children.
Yes.
And he loves us.
That's all true. But he speaks to us also because he has a purpose for us. And if he doesn't speak to us, how are we going to know what those purposes are? What might some of those purposes be? What do you think some of those purposes might be that, that God would talk to you about? Sometimes it's to tell you to change something that he thinks you need to change. And sometimes, as Bridget said, it's to encourage you. simply to encourage you because he loves you. And sometimes he has a purpose for you to change something or encourage your friends and for other people. Or maybe your church. Maybe he has a special purpose for you to encourage people in your church or bring about some kind of change that he wants to change in something in that church. Or maybe it's even bigger than that. Maybe it's the world. Maybe it's out into the world. You know, when he sends missionaries out into the world, he's sending them out with a purpose to do what? To create change. What is that change? To bring the gospel message to people who haven't heard it before, partly. Or maybe just to bring humanitarian aid and things like that. So, what are some things, ooh, here comes the bad part, that he may ask you to do with what he tells you? It's easy when he just tells us he loves us, right? We don't have to do anything really about that, except receive the love. What are some things he might ask you to do with what he tells you? What if he told you something tonight and you heard him tell you something?
He might want you to share it with somebody else.
Yes, very, very important. He may want you to share it with somebody else. He might just want you to pray about it too. That's not too threatening. Especially if it's that you can do at home alone where it's nice and safe, okay? And nobody's critiquing how you're praying. He may ask you to go tell someone what he said so they will be edified. Or once in a great while, it might be the opposite of being edified. It may be speaking a hard truth that they need to hear. But he usually, those are more rare. Okay, go ahead and read Hebrews 5:8, Margaret.
Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered.
So even Jesus had to learn to hear and obey the Father, why do we think it's going to be any different for us? If his only son had to hear him first, you know, and then he had to obey. And we know that he had some pretty tough times. He had to obey things that I'm sure, like he said, let this cup pass from me. You know, unless it's your will, but I don't really want it. You know, so even the Lord had to learn how to hear and obey. So as we learn, we have to keep using and we have to keep practicing the gift of hearing God's voice. Because like anything else, the more we practice, the more we use it, hopefully the better we will get at that. In 1994, the author of this book, Steve Schultz, he went to Indiana to take an advanced course in learning how to hear God's voice. Can you imagine that? The creator of the Elijah list and all the prophetic, they didn't really know anything about hearing God's voice before that part. Never. 1994. He says the course quickly began to bear some very interesting fruit. God was about to use him, Steve, to encourage some people during the today referred to in Hebrews, meaning that very day. But then he says, okay, so after 4 days now of learning how, he's just learning how to hear God's voice better, he said, our final instructions were to keep using and practicing the gift of hearing. You know, that gift of hearing his voice and telling others what we are hearing. Well, why? Read Hebrews 5:14, Margaret.
But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil.
So, to help us distinguish what voice we're hearing. In what ways, okay? In what ways? In our lives and in the lives of others. In knowing what to do, that's important. In knowing what decisions to make. Also learning what decisions to avoid. So those are all part of it. Why we have to keep learning and being able to better distinguish the voice. I remember one time I struggled so bad with something. back in the 90s, the Lord started doing something weird when I would pray sometimes over other people. And I wasn't seeing anybody else in my church doing it, but I was in a very traditional church where they didn't practice the gifts of the Spirit. But sometimes when I would pray over people, these sounds would come out of my mouth of fire and wind. And once I got over being embarrassed about it, like, oh, what's somebody going to think of me? You know, because I always struggle with that. I finally was more able, more quickly to obey and obey. Now it was my mouth, my body, my voice making the sounds. I could have stopped them at any time, but it was the prompting of the Spirit to release and let that, kind of like, you know, when you speak in tongues, you can stop it anytime you want, but it's the language of the Spirit coming forth, but it's your mouth making the voice, right? And this was kind of this thing. The fire sounds sounded like fire crackling, you know, and then wind. And so after I finally was better at being more obedient about it, after doing that for about a year or so, I was at an event that was a four-state region, a GLOW event. So these were all people who were used to walking in the gifts of the Spirit and all this kind of stuff. Some people think it's Looney Tunes. And we were supposed to come up and walk under this thing that was like a river, you know, being waved over you. And so when I walked under it, it hit me where I knew in that moment this stuff was going to start with these sounds. So I ran really fast to my seat, as fast as I could, so I could put my head down between my legs and cover my face with my hands to try to stifle the sound as much as I could, okay? And because I didn't want to be distracting from anything else, okay? I didn't ever for a moment think that someone was going to be upset with me, because these were all mature people who walked in the Spirit, supposedly. So as this is happening, all of a sudden someone comes up behind me, lays hands on my shoulders and starts praying deliverance over me. I was horrified. Because if here, in this faith place, a place like this, somebody thinks this is demonic, oh my gosh, I'm in trouble. And I went home and I was so distraught over this, I would just weep before the Lord. I'd say, Lord, how did I get so deceived? Whose voice am I hearing? You know, if this is demonic, oh my God, I don't know what part of it. I was just wretched about it. And for 2 years, I would not allow that to come from me at all. Because I was really believing that, boy, if people thought that, then this must be demonic. So after 2 years, I was still wrestling with this with the Lord. You know, Lord, was that really from you or whatever? And so I was at a place called the Elder Garden. It was some property a Christian lady had, and she had this humongous pond on it, and it was surrounded by elder trees and weeping willows, and it was just to be used for Christian purposes. So we were there with a group one day, and it was a part where we were going to go out and find a spot quiet somewhere in the Elder Garden on the property and just hear the Lord. So I'm sitting on a railroad tie, and I've got my eyes closed, and I'm wrestling with this about the fire stuff again with the Lord. I said, I don't see other people doing this, and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, he said, open your eyes, open your eyes. So I opened my eyes, and across the path in front of me on the other side was a beautiful garden area, and in the middle of it was a potbelly stove, a real potbelly stove. I didn't imagine it was really there. And so he said really clearly, just as the fire is in the belly of that pot-bellied stove, so too I have put my fire in your belly. And that's all he said, and no more. And so he set me straight. It's like, okay, this was really of God. This was not demonic, you know. And then maybe four times over the years, the last time being 2 weeks ago, up in Ishpeming, that had been confirmed to me from someone else that, you know, in a big group setting, that had came up to me out of the clear blue and smacked hands on me and woo, started screaming, fire, fire, fire. You are full of fire, and the Lord calls you a fire starter, and you've been brought to the UP to start fires. And all this is going on. I'm like, this is the fourth time I've heard this. You know, so sometimes, you know, it's knowing what to do and what to avoid, and hoping then that God will confirm it to you, because sometimes you'll hear something and then you wonder. It's always easy to accept if it's something warm and fuzzy, okay? So if it's kind of oddball, you better really pray about it a lot, okay? It's a good thing they don't have burning the witch at the stake today, because, you know, to be easily accused. But in John 16:13, it tells us that the Holy Spirit was sent to lead us into all truth. But if most people have never heard the audible voice of God, and yet somehow the Holy Spirit, though, leads us, well, how then does he lead us if we can't hear an audible voice from God? How is the Holy Spirit supposed to lead us? One of the things I love about the Holy Spirit is he speaks in our own language. And I don't mean like French, German, English, or something like that. But he speaks in a language that between you and God, God knows exactly how to talk to you. They had a wonderful word, and you may have seen it, Brenda, if you were on the Elijah list the other day, two words. And they both were given to prophetic men. We have a history and a record. But God spoke this whole prophetic word relating to gears and transmissions, okay? Did you see that? See, God will speak to us in a language that it might not mean anything to anyone else, but it will mean to us. Now, a lot of times it won't make sense to us and we don't understand it because he's waiting for us to search it through farther. And, you know, how bad do you want to know? Like I used to say to Ed when Ed would complain, well, I don't ever hear the Lord, I don't ever hear the Lord, or I don't, and I go, well, how bad do you want to know? what are you willing to invest to try and have that happen? You know? So he speaks to us in our own language, and sometimes that's often into our thoughts. He'll just speak into our thoughts. So we actually do hear God speak, even when sometimes we don't even realize we're hearing him speak. And through practice, you can learn from the Lord by constant use of the gifts that God has given us. You begin to learn to distinguish which are your thoughts. Aha, that's the tricky part. Your thoughts and which are God's thoughts. And sometimes we don't know for sure if it's from ourselves or from God, especially if it's something that you've always kind of thought about or wanted, or, you know, it was a desire of your heart, and now someone comes along with a word from God, and this word is like that thing you're desiring. God's saying, oh, I'm going to give that to you. And you're like, is this wishful thinking? Or, you know, did I think that the Lord told me that? And so then we're skeptical, we're doubting, we're saying, I don't know if that really came from my own inner self. So it takes time and practice. It's not always as cut and dry, but God knows that when we are sincere and we really, really want to hear from him, he looks at our heart and he knows where you're at, and he will find a way over time where you'll finally get more and more able to distinguish if this is from God, if this is from your own personal thoughts and filters, or is it from the enemy to trick you. So through let me not go there yet. But the reader who has 2 Timothy 1:6, read that one. Is that you, Sharon?
Yes.
Okay.
Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands.
Now, I know you all heard that scripture many, many, many times. What the author wants us to get from that here is that there was an obedience factor for Timothy to pay attention to. Paul's telling him something here to pay attention to. And that is that Timothy had to choose to stir up the gift that was already within him. He had already received it. It had already been deposited in him by the Holy Spirit. But he had to stir it up now to use it. It's not just going to be like Jack in the Box. Oh! That popped up, all of a sudden, I had no idea. Sometimes, depending on what the gift is, that is possible, that can happen. But usually, we have to choose to obey God in some way. The same is, you know, true for us. Now, the author shared how he was learning to hear and how to put into practice what he had heard. He's done this in a story that I'm going to read right out of this book. So I wouldn't have had to retype it again. Okay, let's see here. I have a couple examples like this tonight, okay? So, that prophetic conference he had went to. He says, I returned from my prophetic training back to my home church, And at the very next church service, those who needed prayer for anything, especially if they were sick, were invited to come over to the side of the building for prayer, much like we do here at Maranatha. They come up front. This was a common practice in our church. My chance had come. It was my time to practice the gifts, the gift that is in all of us, the gift of hearing God's voice. He's a newbie, fresh out of the training now, right? Rare to go. Okay. One young woman who was visiting our church that day was the only one who didn't have someone praying for her when I approached the group asking for prayer. She was dressed very conservatively, had a serious look, and certainly did not seem like one who was ready to join a sports team. I asked her what the problem was, and she told me her wrist hurt and said she'd been having ongoing problems with it. I asked if I could hold her wrist and pray for it, and she said that was fine, but I was now trained to listen and watch more carefully about what else God might want to say to her, rather than just launching off now into a prayer that he was going to make up in his head. As I prayed for her wrist, suddenly a picture popped into my head. It was a picture of her singing in front of kids, even doing camp songs. From there, the picture and the impression that accompanied it enlarged. And just as I'd been practicing in Indiana at the conference, I said, "I hear the Lord saying that you are or will be working with young kids and youth." Well, immediately she began to cry, tears streaming down her face. I'm sure I said a few more things, but I no longer remember them, though I do remember that I asked her if that word meant anything to her. And sometimes we'll do that. We'll say, "Does that mean anything to you?" Sometimes a person knows right away, and sometimes they go, "No, I don't have a clue." She said, "Yes, it means everything to me. I have been a youth leader at my own church for several years, but I've just been removed from that position." She didn't explain why, but watching the tears flow down her face, I could see that it had caused her great pain. She went on to explain how she was a volleyball coach, or something to that effect. She was, in fact, everything she did not appear to be on the outside, an outgoing, athletic leader of youth. Before leaving, I encouraged her by telling her that the Lord would not have revealed this word to me unless he had a desire to encourage her and bring her back into the type of ministry she loved, but perhaps with another church. I don't know who went home more encouraged, her or me. So this was his first experience out of the box, because now God gave him a picture and then some kind of an impression to have some understanding in a limited way of that picture. Okay, so a few weeks later, I had gone down to California on a family vacation. I'm skipping parts here, so if it sounds a little important, I'll certain points for the sake of time. We stopped in Medford, Oregon to get a bite of dinner before we began the last leg of our journey. And we ordered our meal and began the normal wait for our food, and my eye caught a small elderly woman a few tables up and in the next row of booths. My eyes were drawn to her. Ooh, that's a dangerous thing when God does that. He's up to something. "Why am I drawn to this woman?" I asked myself. I had a sense of what the answer was, but would I harden my heart to it? Would I harden my heart to God's encouraging word for this woman? I did not tell my wife or my family what I was thinking about doing. I realized that God did, in fact, want to speak to this woman to encourage her. But what did he want to say? I spent most of the meal listening on purpose to what the Lord had for her. Still, I said nothing about it to anyone. I made a deal with the Lord. "Lord, if she gets up and walks out the door before we finish, I will go outside that door and speak the word I believe you're telling me." He didn't want anybody to see him. You might say it was a chicken deal with the God of the universe. The restaurant was quiet, and I didn't want to embarrass her, nor did I want to be embarrassed myself. So I ate fast and waited and watched. She paid her bill and walked out the door. "I have to go talk to that woman," I told Doreen. "I think I'm supposed to give her a word from the Lord." To fulfill my part of the bargain, I followed her right out the door. "Excuse me," I said. She stopped and turned around, puzzled. "You don't know me," I said, "and this may seem a little strange, but when you were in the restaurant, the Lord began to talk to me about you, and I wanted to tell you what he said." Now, can you imagine saying this to a total stranger that just walked out of a restaurant? That takes a little bit of guts. She seemed confused, but she stopped and listened. I continued, "The Lord said he's seen your tears and your loneliness, and he's going to bring help for you. I even saw someone in the military coming to you. She started to cry. What is this? She asked. I've never heard of anything like this before, she said with tears in her eyes. Does this mean anything to you? I asked her. Yes, it does. 3 weeks ago, I buried my husband. We always came to this restaurant every week on this day. I'm so lonely. And I have a son who is in the military, she continued. Well, I just wanted you to know that God sees you and knows about your loneliness. And he wanted me to encourage you and let you know that help is on the way. She was nearly speechless and didn't know how to respond. She told me that she was a Christian and that she had prayed a lot to God lately. And I ended the conversation with, well, God just wants you to know that he's watching out for you and he hasn't forgotten about you. I'll see you later. Goodbye, she said in a thankful voice, and that was that. So he had to take the risk. He had to obey, right? Now, maybe he was wrong. Maybe he really wasn't hearing the Lord here. That's pretty risky. And to approach a total stranger, I mean, they might punch you in the nose or something. And God begins to do these things in these ways to train us. I remember when I was still in the Catholic Church, and the Lord was just kind of, I was new into some of these things and very, you know, like baby steps. And I don't know if you've ever been to a Catholic Mass, but there's always a part during the Mass where people give each other the sign of peace. It's kind of like when we do our greeting on Sunday. Okay, people go around and they say, peace be with you, and so on and so forth. And so all of a sudden, he would always do the same point in the service, at the sign of peace. He would spotlight, like he did to this guy in the restaurant. All of a sudden, he's spotlighting a person, somebody I didn't know from Adam, you know. And I'm like, okay, why am I being drawn to that person? Well, after time, I'd learn why, and I wouldn't ask, and then I'd just go, oh, please, Lord, don't do this to me. Because I was a chicken. And so he'd always, and then I wouldn't do anything, okay? And then he'd start to gently impress upon me that I was supposed to pray over this person for something. Okay, and I didn't know what yet, okay, and so I wouldn't do it. I'd dig in my heels, and I'm like, oh, I'm not doing that. They're going to think I'm nuts, a cuckoo clock or something, going up to some stranger, excuse me, but God told me I was supposed to pray for you, you know. So what he would do, the Holy Spirit, was when it would be communion time, and everybody's going up to receive communion, then he'd give me the little bawling party, you know, I'd cry, he'd start making me cry and cry, and this arm would start to shake. And I couldn't ignore it for long. And it got to be where I knew beyond a doubt this was a little scenario every time it would play out. And so I'd give in, and when the Mass was all over and people were coming out, I'd approach this person. I'd ask them if they could pray for him. And no one ever told me no. And 9 out of 10 times, it had to do with the person having a leg problem. Don't ask me why. I have no clue. Now, I didn't pray in tongues over them. You know, I'd sit down in the pew and I'd anoint them with oil and just pray over them. But that was a way that God was training me up to obey, you know, even though I was embarrassed and it wasn't the norm in that church and it was like really getting out of the box, so to speak, because he knew in the future what my other assignments would be, that if I thought that was hard, I was in for a rude awakening. Anyway. So what do you think of that? What he did, how God was showing Steve, how he was training him up, what he did with the lady in the restaurant or the lady at the church in the first time. Do you believe it, or do you think it was just a hoax, or do you think that was pretty nasty of God to trick him like that? How would you feel? Anybody?
I don't know. I feel that God uses some people in a special way like that. I guess maybe because I have chicken feelings like you do. Or did. Maybe you don't anymore.
Oh, I feel good. They're just over bigger things now.
I feel that I hear God's voice in my thoughts, but I have never been led like that. But my husband and I were traveling to Florida one time, and he was blind. And we stopped at a McDonald's, And there was a fellow that came over and said, you know, I don't know you, but we have a pastor who performs miracles. And he's just down the road if you want to stop and have him pray over you. And we did. And I feel that was spirit-led by that fellow.
And even though the
group of men out in the parking lot, so we asked if the pastor was there, and he said yes. They were all going deer hunting. And so, even though my husband did not see physically, I feel that the blessings from that pastor came on so that he had a great sense of peace.
You see, now,
so I believe in that, what you said.
You know, don't write yourself off that that wouldn't happen to you yet. Here's what I would say. Because you already hear the Lord speak to you. How much are you asking him to use you in that way?
I'm not.
Because that's safer, right?
Well, I never thought of doing it.
Well, I'll tell you, in the times and seasons that we are in today, what God is saying to the body of Christ through all different venues that are being put, he's speaking like crazy, like he's never been speaking before in time. I'm not kidding you. And he keeps saying to the church, you know, the times that we're in, we're on the very precipice of the biggest revival that's ever happened, the biggest harvest that will ever be before the end times. He's not talking about this being the end time. He says, and he's talking about beginning, you know, this stuff with this year even. And he's saying that we have to start stepping out because we've been so comfortable to come. And this is his words, that my people come into the churches on Sunday, they sing some nice songs, they listen to a nice message, and then they go out and it's business as usual. And he goes, that's not what it's all about. You know, there are people outside those church walls that are dying and going to hell. There are people outside those church walls that need deliverance. And guess what? He's called his church to do that. It's his power, Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own. But he works through vessels. And he is working overtime. He's recently made a word that had to do with over many years, and he's talking about his Christians that have, you know, been learning how to do certain things and functioning and gifts in a certain way. But he says, all these years, I've deposited in you. And he goes, now, like Paul's thing about, don't take milk anymore, it's time to eat meat. And the Lord said, this is the time, my people, you've got to start getting up and out. All of it's deposited in you. Get out there and start putting it out to the world, because that's why I put it in you. Because he's sick and tired of us just, it's wonderful to come on Sunday and see our friends and feel good and share songs and things. You know? Bridget.
I actually have forgotten. It's been way too long since I used that way, but I was prophesied over at one point. This is like my husband and I were just not married very long. Nobody in the family believed. But I was prophesied over that the Lord's going to call you to do something that you're not going to want to do. But that it's very important for you to go ahead and listen to him. I'm like, okay. 2 days later, we got a call from my mother-in-law, who at this time they lived down in Florida. My father-in-law was dying. He had not gotten out of bed in 2 weeks, and we were called down there to say goodbye. And at that point, I knew what I was going to have to do. And I'm, you know, praying all the way down there, nervous like crazy, because it's like, okay, none of the family believes. Lord, you're just going to have to work this out. And we were down there, and we were all visiting, and he was in his bed, and all of a sudden, it was just him and I. Everybody, the whole family had gone into the other room, and so I just asked, I said, can I pray for you? He says, oh, yes, which was awesome. And so I prayed for him, and he wasn't completely healed, but he got out of that bed. He went to the beach with us that day. Mm-hmm. He went out to eat with us that day. He lived for 9 more months, and during that time he became good friends with an assembly pastor. And it was just like, okay. And it's just like,
your obedience.
Lord, why don't I hear, you know, and that's been my prayer lately. It's like, okay, I've prophesied over people that I knew. There was a lady that was moving because she was getting divorced, and she had 5 children, and her husband was into really bad stuff. And I just remember during the move and just telling her, this is, the Lord is just wanting you to know that your children are going to be just fine. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about them. They'll be just fine. You just follow after God, and He's going to take care of you. And she ended up marrying a wonderful Christian man. Yeah, for the family. But I've been praying that more and more. It's like, Lord, I want those personal words again to speak to people, like you're saying. It's just like people around me at work are so hurting. It's like I don't hear anything.
But we know that you do hear, because when God gives you a prophetic word to speak out during service on Sunday, you hear Him and you speak it, right?
I want to hear outside of these walls.
Yeah. So maybe, and maybe He's already done this, maybe just keep asking Him, what is the blockage, Lord? You know the desire in my heart, Lord, because you gave me this gift for a purpose. And as He said Himself, the purpose isn't for just inside the church walls,
right,
to bless the rest of us Christians, which we love to be blessed,
yeah,
do we not?
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so ask Him to show you what the blockage might be. You know, maybe there's something there, which, you know, I think we talked a little bit about blockages the first week or so, but ask Him that, you know, and then ask other people to pray for you too, that God would, that the Holy Spirit would really answer those prayers, because I know that in these times we're in, I highly doubt that it's Him not speaking to you for that, because He doesn't train you up in something and know that you have the boldness to speak it out, because you've proven that. So why? What's the difference here, Lord? What is the difference? And see what He might say to you. I want to share one more. Wait, or did I do that one already? No, I did that one. Okay. I want to share an experience, if I can think of how to do it really quickly. When we were still living in Wisconsin, Ed and I had a Bible study in our home. And after the Bible study at the end of the night, we'd always say, does anybody want prayer for anything? You know, and we'd pray over people, and that was that. One night, one of the people that normally was a regular in the Bible study brought a friend with her. She was a stranger to us. We didn't know her. But when she came in, it was obvious she was in great pain, because she was all bent over, hardly able to walk. She was in great pain. So at the end of the night, when we asked, you know, who anyone wanted prayer, she said she wanted prayer. So now, she's sitting in the middle of the couch. I sit one side, Ed sits on the other side, and we're praying. So in our mind, we're praying for her back to be healed, because that's what we thought the need was. So we started praying, just the normal routine, you know, how you pray for someone's back to be healed, and so on and so forth. And then I started praying in tongues. So I'm just praying in tongues. And all of a sudden, I saw a picture. And the picture was her back with a long steel rod down the back. And I thought, oh, she's got one of those surgically implanted rods in her back. You know, she must really have a lot of back trouble. So I said to her, you have a steel rod in your back? And she said, no. I said, are you sure? No. So I started praying in tongues again. And then I heard the word ramrod. I said, are you sure you don't have anything in your back? I said, I'm hearing the Lord, and He keeps saying ramrod. Does that mean anything to you? No. So I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm really missing the mark here. And nobody else is getting anything. And so I just keep praying in tongues. And then all of a sudden, I heard the word unforgiveness. And so I said, I told her what I was hearing. I said, is there anyone that you haven't forgiven for something they've done to you? And she took a lot of time and thought about it, and she goes, no, no. I go, gee, well, I don't know what to think. That's what the Lord, well, okay, I go back to praying in tongues, and then all of a sudden the Lord showed me who she was angry at and would not forgive. And it took me by such surprise that I didn't handle it very quietly. I just burst out. I go, oh my gosh, it's God. You're mad at God. And it just took me by surprise. I should have been more gentle how I said it, but I didn't like it. But as soon as that those words came out of my mouth, she broke out crying, and she sobbed and sobbed and sobbed for maybe 10 minutes. And we're like, okay, we're just waiting and waiting. And then finally she said that 3 years prior to that, she's in, her and her husband lived in Texas. They had a beautiful church they went to. They had a wonderful home. Everything was perfect, perfect, perfect. And then she says, and then God just plucked us right out of there, and he put us here in Wisconsin. And she, the way she said it was like she could hardly get the words out of her teeth, you know. And she said, and I told him I'll never forgive him for that. And when she said that, it's like in her own heart and mind and spirit, something broke that caused her to see the ridiculous truth of what she had just said. And she just stopped, and she started crying, and she just started asking the Lord's forgiveness and named it and said what it was. See, because that was stuffed down all the time, and she had declared it with her mouth. So she gave it permission to be. But now, when God's all of a sudden, you know, he's just working with her, and she repented, and she asked his forgiveness. And so, the amazing thing was, her back was healed then, instantly. Pain gone, everything. Because, see, the physical issue came from a spiritual cause. And that happens a lot of times. But we don't know that. That's why when we pray over someone, it's nice if we can listen for the Holy Spirit to tell us something. My pet peeve is when I'm here on Sunday and we go up and pray over people in the front, he doesn't usually do that so much. I don't know why he doesn't do that. He can do it with me anywhere else, but it's like when I'm here, it's like he just leaves you to figure it out on your own. You know, very rarely, but then maybe sometimes I'm not aware he's telling me, and what I said, I just thought I dreamt up and he said it. Who knows? All I know is sometimes people still get healed and delivered in spite of it. So I say that to just give you one more example of one way sometimes God will speak to us, and we might think it's something totally different, but he knows what's at the root cause. The author shared how sometimes he hardens his heart. Sometimes he has the strongest impression to do something, okay, but then he talks himself out of it. I've done that also. You ever had that happen? You know the Spirit's prompting you to do something, but you talk yourself out of it. Either it's too risky, you don't want to risk being made a fool, or you're afraid, well, what if I'm wrong and it's not that, or whatever. Or maybe you just don't want to do it because you hate that person, you know, like Jonah. And if I go pray over that person and give them that word, they might get healed, and they don't deserve to be healed. They're rotten. We do those things sometimes. We shouldn't, but we do. At times, these impressions are simple impressions. You know, sometimes the voice of the Holy Spirit speaks to you, but sometimes there isn't any speaking. It's just an impression. It's kind of like there in your chest. It's just something there that you can't explain how it got there or how you even know what it means. But they're impressions that suggest that you should talk to a certain person, or make a phone call to a particular person, or simply to tell someone at church that you're praying for them. You don't even have to know why. But see, if you're like me, I always want to know why. But he's not always going to tell us that. It's not always any of our business. Maybe you even just had the thought that you should smile at the cashier in the store and tell him or her, hey, it looks like you're having a hard day. This must be a tough job. I'll pray for you tonight. And then don't forget when you get home to pray for them. Sometimes that's all it takes. Just follow that impression. God puts those thoughts into our minds all the time. It's His voice. And sometimes it can be for simple things, some way the Lord wants to encourage someone in an ordinary way. Usually in the beginning, He gives us those simple ones like that, because it's easier to give somebody something nice, right? So Steve said he didn't realize when his journey began how many whens and todays were ahead of him. It's a good thing, he said, because he wouldn't have believed it if the Lord had told him what was going to happen in the future. There's a fear factor in learning to hear God's voice. The fear is that God Himself, heaven forbid, He might give you a special assignment. That's scary. And believe me, it's always going to be something you think you can't do. Or you fear that you may get it wrong and not do it the perfect way. That's why Steve wrote the book, to try to help us by sharing some of his own prophetic assignments and his journey and how it happened in many different ways. So the question is fear. Fear of what, you know? Fear that God will give you that assignment. Yeah. Or how about fear that the person might think you're crazy? I get that a lot. I still get that even here in church. Twice last Sunday, I wasn't prepared for it. Now the clear blue, you know, I'm standing here in Fellowship Hall before service even started, and I'm having a nice conversation with Roxanne and somebody else. You, Bridget, I think. Yeah. And see, he snuck one right in there on that. Right in us having that conversation. Well, I could feel it coming. I could feel us going to burst out crying. I'm like, why am I going to cry? And it was when Adam walked behind Roxanne. Adam walked by, and it was like the Lord went whoosh. And I wanted to cry. And so I kept ignoring it, and I kept out of the conversation, and I'm like, but it wouldn't go away, and it got stronger and stronger. I'm like, what is this all about? And so finally, I just had to say, excuse me, I have to go talk to someone. You know, and well, by that time, he's talking to two other guys. I just went up, and I just touched him on the elbow. I said, can I talk to you? Because it's already 9:45. Service is going to start. And I know if I don't do it right away, I'm going to lose my nerve. You know, so I said, come on, let's go over here in the corner. And I started to talk to him. And, of course, then it came, what the Lord wanted to say. And it was like, I wasn't planning on that. I wasn't planning on that at all. And then he showed me something else. They had to do with someone in church's little children. And so I said, can you meet me after service? I have to be obedient. Now, I thought the person was going to think I was crazy too, because it's not someone I have a relationship with. But she was very gracious, and God had His own way. He had a purpose, and He had His own way. So see, I wasn't even planning on those things. But yeah, I can go up to pray over somebody, and I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, tell me what to pray for, and get nada. You know? Sometimes. The dead giveaway with me, and it'll be different for each one of you. You know how the king always had a signet ring? And that was so that it always identified who that letter or that paper was from, to prove this is from me, the king, the boss, okay? Lest you doubt it. And so God will figure out and know what the signet ring is for you. That He will stamp something with sometimes, because He knows once in a while you need a little bit more pushing. And for me, it's He'll make me start crying. So if I'm talking to you and I start crying, you can rest assured that I'm not talking from me anymore. It's from the Lord. So, God speaks in riddles a lot. But isn't He supposed to talk clearly? Did He speak clearly or plainly to His disciples? Okay? I mean, what are some examples? Can anyone think of something He told His disciples that if you were one of them that day, you wouldn't have a clue what He meant? Anybody? How about when He said to them, destroy this temple and in 3 days it will raise again, right? Come on. What did that mean? Why didn't He just say that in simple terms they'd understand? Why does He... That's right. Or they weren't ready. Sometimes we want to know something and God will tell us something, but we're not ready to receive it. We're not mature enough yet, or the timing isn't right. Sometimes He just wants to know how bad you want to know. If you're panning for gold, how much gold do you want to find? You want to give up when you get a couple nuggets, or do you want the big stuff? So you're going to keep at it, keep at it, keep at it, even though your back is breaking and you say, this is hard work and I want to quit. Mm-hmm. Even when God speaks plainly sometimes, he has to say what he wants to say to you by the mouth of two or three witnesses. He'll say something to you, then he'll bring confirmation through two or three other people in various forms. And sometimes he has to say things over and over. That's me sometimes. He has to drop a ton of bricks on me. And sometimes he speaks to you like in a dream or a vision. He'll even speak to you. Can you imagine he'd do this? He'll even speak to you out of the mouth of a non-believer. He'll do that. He used to, in the early years when he was training me up, always tell me something three times. Two times from a Christian and once from a non-Christian. And it was always the non-Christian that cinched it, because it really hit home then. Okay? But this is one of God's ways. Even when he does speak plainly, his words, we have to remember, they're passing through the grid of our understanding, which is often based on false paradigms, false theology, false understanding of his ways, among other things. So when he speaks plainly, it really is plainly to him. But to us, we have to work it out sometimes, as Scripture says, you know, with fear and trembling, because not all things are clear the first time we hear them. So, I want to give you a couple more examples. Let me see if I got time for that or not. I don't have time to give you the whole thing on this. I'm just going to say to you that Kim Clement, it was either in 2004 or 2006, the Lord spoke to him, and I know this to be a fact because I kept that in my files because I wanted to see if this was really going to happen. But I didn't know what it meant, just like Kim didn't have any idea what it meant. In part of a word, there was just one sentence that made no sense to anything else, and the Lord said to him, God would put a trumpet in the White House. Well, Kim Clement didn't even know anything about, you know, anything with Donald Trump or anything. And the emphasis was like, whoop! And it was put aside. Nobody knew what that meant, okay, until it was the time for that to happen. Then the word made sense, okay? And last year, and Bridget and Brenda, you would know this because you watched the Charles Schamp thing, but where the Lord took him into the vision that placed him into Kenya. And he's there in Kenya, and he wasn't in a vision. He was in something that's called a translation. Like Philip had happened, bodily put somewhere, you know, transported. It was one of those things. He's transported, now he's in the middle of Kenya, and the Lord is showing him the condition of the country at that point, which was really, really bad then, because they've gone back and forth over the last couple decades with an ungodly leader and then a godly leader, and back and forth. And every time it changed, the nation changed, okay? So, there's a president, he's the president, and now it's time for the election again. And so, as Charles Schamp is seeing the conditions at the time, much turmoil, chaos, and now this election that's coming up, the ungodly powers over Kenya wanted to get rid of the Christian president. So they had all their plans and schemes made. Okay, they're going to get a new president in there, so there's an election. And I remember this because that president was on 700 Club at that time, and I remember him being interviewed. And what happened was they had the election, and the Christian president won again. And the enemy was so angry that the Kenyan Supreme Court threw that election out and said, we're negating that. We're going to have another election, a new one. And so when he was on 700 Club, he was getting ready for the second election, and Pat Robertson asked him questions about, you know, what do you think about this, or so on and so forth. But here's what happened. Before the second election, a maid working in the president's household had went to him and said, there's a man from America who God gave a word about Kenya and our election, and you need to hear it. And so how he heard it, we don't know. I don't know if the guy went there or talked to him on the phone or what. I have no idea. But here was the word. Charles Champ, when he was standing there in the beginning with Kenya, the Lord said to him that that the presidential election was coming up, and the Lord would be bringing a turnaround to the nation, just like he's saying today for America. That's his phrase now, turnaround. We're in the turnaround season. And the Lord would bring a double jubilee. What would you think if God said that to you? So when you think like jubilee blessings, that's what jubilee is. It's blessings. And they were going to get double jubilee, double blessings, or whatever. But that's not what it meant at all. And at the time, you know, Charles Champ didn't know that the political party that the Christian president belonged to was called the Jubilee Party. Who would have thought that? And what happened was, while he's being interviewed by Pat Robertson, he told Pat Robertson, he said, no, he said, I've heard from the Lord, I'm going to let them, they can have another election, that's not going to faze me, because God has spoken. And he won the election. So what happened? He had been, two times they ran the election. That was the double jubilee, because both times the Jubilee Party was won. So we, our minds sometimes prevent us from understanding what we are hearing. Just like Charles Champ didn't know what the double jubilee meant. So God has to come to us in many ways in order to get his word to us. In the next chapter, they title it, You Can't Stop God, He's Already Speaking. And the author began the next chapter by talking about how the Wright brothers, you all learned about them in school, in 1903, right, they invented their flying machine. But the fact that from nearly the beginning of history, all that was needed to make a sustained flight happen was already in place. How? Where? How was it there before, you know, in the 1900s when they did it? Well, here's what was already in place before they were even born. That included the law of aerodynamics, the law of gravity, the science of headwinds, tailwinds, and the immutable law that for every action there's an equal or opposite reaction. God had already created all those things, put them there here on planet Earth. Every one of them was there. Even the wood, metal, and the ability to build a capable motor long pre-existed the birth of the Wright brothers. It's all there. It's like a puzzle with the pieces laying all around. Somebody just has to know how to assemble them. So what prevented all of this from happening sooner then? Mankind. Mankind had not taken advantage of what had been available all along. Okay? The same is true today. God has given us things before we were ever born, that they're there. We're capable of much more things. We just have to pray and hear him and get the wisdom from him, like when he spoke to Noah how to build the ark. Okay? We have to here's the question. What has been there all along for the church? God has been saying that when he speaks, things will happen. Why then don't they happen? Go ahead and read Isaiah 55:11. Who has that scripture?
I do.
Okay.
So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which it was sent. Or I sent it.
So if God speaks to us, we must hear him knowingly or unknowingly. Sometimes we hear him unknowingly. We think it's our own thought. Because he said his word would accomplish what he desires. He doesn't lie, so there must be truth. How could it accomplish its purpose if we don't hear it? If we do hear his voice, even when we're not trying to hear his voice, then how much more will we be able to hear him if we do try? Jeremiah 29:13, the Lord said, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So God has declared his voice to us in a multitude of ways. It's an established fact. Let's look at just a few of them. Whoever has the two John scriptures, go ahead and read those. John 10:27.
My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me.
And then John 6.
Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me.
James 1:5. Who has that? Read that.
I do. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you.
Do you have Isaiah 30?
I do. I have Jeremiah first.
Oh, read Jeremiah then.
Okay.
This is my favorite scripture in the whole Bible.
All right. Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know.
And then Isaiah 30:21.
Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it.
So, these are just a few examples of the different ways God might speak to us. Different ways, different things. Now, the author said some people might call that spooky or strange. But God calls it grace, and he calls it a fulfilled promise, and I agree. Scripture is full of references assuring us that God will speak personally to us in one way or another, not just the select few people with a prophetic gift, but all of us, if the Holy Spirit is in us, all of us. So let me see here. I'm going to have to cut out something, and I got to figure out what. Okay, let me do this. I have a question here. Here's the question. Okay, here's some examples of not knowing that it was God speaking to you. Now, can you relate to any of them? We're going to go through them quickly. I just felt impressed to go a different way home. And I was there just in time to help someone who really needed me. I prayed about that bad situation and then suddenly felt a real peace that God had answered my prayer. You didn't hear any words, okay? What a coincidence! I ran into that person just when I needed his advice. I asked God for a job, and then later the thought came to me about calling this one man, and he hired me on the spot. I feel like God intervened in my situation, and it came to me just what to tell that person who was upset. I feel like God showed me just what to say. Thank you, God. That's strange. I dreamed about that very thing last night. I don't know how, but I knew the answer to that, and I hadn't even studied it. That was a divine appointment, if I've ever seen one. I was really able to encourage Joe when he was so discouraged, and I didn't even know I'd see him today. As I read my Bible, the scripture just sort of jumped off the page at me. I've been thinking about it all day. These are just a few examples. We don't even give it a thought. God is speaking to us all the time in many different ways. Okay? Now, I'm going to share. The author says, going back to 1982, okay? He said, I developed an insatiable and surprising desire for his word. This is after he's, you know, learning more about the Lord. He's new. More than I had ever known in my life. And something had awakened within me in the last year, and I would never be the same. I was apprehended by God's love. That which had appeared stale and hard to understand in scripture form was now almost jumping off the page as I read the Bible. I would only later understand that when God's written word comes alive like this, it is no less the voice of God than it is when we hear his voice audibly. I was being drawn as if God bid me to come closer. It was the Father's voice. He was speaking to me, not in words that I could hear and understand and repeat, but somehow he was causing the words to come alive. God was now ready to take us to the next level, the level of actually responding to his word as it jumped off the page. He gives an example here. He says, Claudia had been with us in the Campus Crusade Bible study that first night and had experienced perhaps the greatest joy of all of us when she heard me read the scripture from John chapter 10 about my sheep listen to my voice. That we've been talking that scripture over and over now. Okay? She got excited about it. She complained of her chronic major health problems. She had severe arthritis and was in an awful lot of pain. So one night at the Bible study, Claudia cried out, I'm not asking God to heal me. Of course, at that time, she didn't exactly believe that God would or could heal people. I'm only asking that he make the pain less severe. Have you ever done that? I have. So I can do what I need to do as a mother. Well, the leader of the group, Lauren, was finding himself in new places with the Lord as well. Campus Crusade for Christ wasn't exactly encouraging your people to teach about praying for healing of people's bodies. Okay. However, from somewhere, having heard God speak in his heart, though I'm sure he did not hear him speak in audible words, Lauren found the faith to say, well, the Bible does say that if anyone is sick, we should call for the elders and pray for them. Why don't we pray for you, Claudia, the next time we get together? So, the next time, you know, he says, you have Jesus saying that we would do the same things he did, and even more. And so he tells her the scripture in John where Jesus said that. So the next week they got together after the Bible study. They all gathered around and they were going to pray over Claudia. And somebody jumped up and ran in the kitchen and got Wesson cooking oil from the cupboard. Okay, what? Not even olive oil from the Middle East? Can we do that? Okay, is that allowed? We knelt down. It seemed like we should kneel for something like this, right? They had no clue this was new for them. And as we put some oil on Claudia, not knowing how it should be done, we prayed perhaps the weakest faith-absent prayers you have ever heard being prayed. You'll recognize one of these phrases. Lord, heal her if it be your will, and if it's okay. If it's not, would you at least help her have less pain? So their prayers were so dry, he says, I didn't feel an ounce of faith in the room. After nearly 10 minutes of this kind of praying, we stopped. We had all prayed everything we could think of to pray, and I distinctly remember people clearing their throats and making excuses to get up and go to the restroom or whatever. Just some excuse to end this seeming charade. And no one was brave enough to ask Claudia about her condition. We didn't want to put her on the spot, or us either. Nobody to be embarrassed. So she goes off into another room. Suddenly, while she's off in the other room, in the bedroom, she stumbles back and has to catch herself as she almost fell down. Some sort of power was on her, or hit her, or made her feel weak or something, and it lasted just a moment. A few minutes later, she comes out of the room. Long story short, she shared what had happened. She got healed. No pain. No pain at all. None. Okay? So, here they were. They didn't even know what they were doing. They were just following what a little leading of the Holy Spirit. So, what happens when you obey the Lord? You know, they obeyed first his written word because they found it in Scripture where it said this is what you're to do. And then they obeyed the impression of the Holy Spirit to do something. And they did. So when you pray, the Holy Spirit doesn't just warm you up or cool you down, though sometimes you feel only that, but he speaks to you as he spoke to them. Neither of them heard an audible voice in their heads, but they both responded to the voice they didn't hear. And that's how it begins for many people, how God speaks to you. He gives you a piece at a time, a little bit here and a little bit there, and it's like a puzzle, and you've got to work it out sometimes. So, any comments, questions, anything?
I have to tell you that my daughter usually has a family meal on Sunday, and she always invites, I'm not sure if it's Corinne or Corrine.
Oh, Corrine from church.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And before I went to her house after church, I went to the ER room because I couldn't swallow. That my tongue was so sore.
Mm.
I am not one to get sick. I go once a year for a physical and that's it. So I was really concerned. And the physician there couldn't find anything. He said it may be the beginning of shingles. Mm. So when I got to the table, I was telling my daughter and everyone there what the ER person had said. And Corrine grabbed my hand, and she prayed in the Holy Spirit. And I went home, and when I got up from my nap, I was healed.
Praise God.
I was. I mean,
Praise God.
I was healed.
Now, that's a perfect example, because I don't know about you guys, but I'm guilty of this. Sometimes we want to go to certain people because we know that those people have a good track record, or they just seem to be so spiritual, or whatever. And we forget that God will use anyone has the faith. You ever notice when you go someplace and there's a speaker, and then they call up people for prayer? Everybody gets in the line where the speaker was, and all the other people waiting to pray are empty. Nobody up there. Because everybody wants to go to the speaker, because they think, oh, they really got some real power here. They got a monopoly on this. We're so silly when we do that. You know, anyone that's sincere, God will use. It just means that some people have been trained up a little bit better in that and might get quicker to the point. I don't know. But that's a perfect example. Thank you for sharing that with us. That's a wonderful